Happy Mother's Day. I'd like to honor all the mothers who are present and all the mothers who are not present who have gone before us. My mother is no longer here, but she loved the Lord. And because of her, I love the Lord and my siblings. She had a big influence on us. And that's the influence of a mother is so great. We should honor our mothers. It's so important that we honor our mothers. And we should also honor our fathers, but today is Mother's Day. And I'd like to just look at a few verses in Genesis way back about Adam and Eve. So if you'll go with me to Genesis chapter 3. In verse 20, it says, "The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." The word Eve in Hebrew resembles the word for living. So life has come to each of us through our mothers. We have our mother carried us for 9 months in the womb, most of us. Some of us was less. And we should honor them for the things that they went through to give us life. We should honor them. We should also honor them for the process of birth. There's as a result of the fall, pain in childbirth was multiplied. And our mothers went through that for us. Then in chapter 4, it says, Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord." So we see from this that Eve had an acknowledgement of God in the receiving of her firstborn. She says, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord." And then at the end of the chapter, verse 25, and this is after Abel. So it says, verse 2, I skipped over verse 2. It says, "Again she bore his brother Abel." So it doesn't say what she said at that time. And then verse 25, "Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and she called his name Seth. For she said, 'God has appointed for me another child instead of Abel, for Cain slew him.'" So the word Seth has to do with the idea of an appointment that God made, that God was behind it all. "To Seth also was a son born. He called his name Enosh, and at that time men began to call on the name of the Lord." So we see that Eve had a relationship with God where she attributed the birth of her children to God. And there's such a wonderful thing if you have a mother who has a relationship with God. And I want to encourage all the mothers here that you have a relationship with God, because so much will come to your children if you have a personal relationship with God. We don't have any indication in Scripture that Adam talked to God after the fall. We don't know that he didn't, but we don't know that he did. So that's a little bit sad. It's not Father's Day, but I'll exhort fathers as well, that when you have a relationship with the Lord as a father, you have a big influence on your children. It's very, very important. When I was young in the Lord, my father was not a believer, but there were men in my church who were, and they took an interest in me. And I can think of Art Hynek and Gary Haas, and their influence on me was that they had sons. I was friends with their sons, and we did things together. We played football and ice hockey, but we also studied the Bible together and prayed together. take a break from the football game and have a devotional time on the porch. And that meant so much to me because I saw that faith was for men, not just for women, that we should walk with the Lord. So those are my brief thoughts this Mother's Day. Love the Lord, both mothers and fathers. Bring the Lord into your home. It's not the church's responsibility primarily to teach your children, as we do each week, but it's the life of the Lord in the home that will be the most influential. So don't delegate that. Make it part of your life, that you pray together, you pray before you eat, you pray, you read the word, you talk on the way and before bed, and all the times where you're sowing the seeds of faith to grow in your children. So now I'd like to go on to a topic that I think is a very needed topic in almost all the churches of America. And it is, are you seeking God? Are you seeking God? Now, a lot of churches would scratch their heads at that question. I'm sorry to say that, but they would say, well, what is the seeking God? They might say, well, I go to church every Sunday. There are people who say they're Christians and they get labeled C and E Christians. You know what that is? I didn't know until recently. C and E Christians, Christmas and Easter Christian. I laughed too when I was on Facebook and I said, what's a C and E Christian? So I said, Christmas and Easter. So are you a Christian? Is being a Christian and seeking God equivalent to going to church every Sunday? It's part of it, but you can go to church every Sunday and not be seeking God. You're attending. We used to have a joke for all the people in IBM. One of the guys in the prison ministry who is also an IBMer, he says, you're supposed to, in your introductions, say, where do you work? And he says, you know, I'm so-and-so, and I live in Hyde Park, and I attend Methodist Church, and I attend IBM. So you can be that way. I attend Canaan Fellowship. It's not that you're here. It's good that you're here, but it's not enough that you're here. There has to be an active seeking God, and that's my question for today. Are you actively seeking God? And why should you actively seeking God? Is seeking God just equivalent to going to church? No, there's seeking God involves what you do on your own as well as what you do with your brothers and sisters. So before we talk about, some Christians would say, what's this seeking God? Why is that important? I'm already saved and I'm going to heaven, so why is that important? And my question back to that is being a Christian all about going to heaven? And if you read the scriptures, you'll find out that that's there, but it's not the primary message of the Bible, is getting to heaven. Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say, help us to get to heaven. He did pray, that he taught us how to pray, but the thrust of the prayer is not being saved and going to heaven. So why should we be seeking God actively, individually, on our own? And I want to give four reasons. One is, first off, it pleases God, and we should want to please God. That we should take the time to spend it with God. If you love somebody, then you have, this is the second reason, love makes us want to spend time with the one we love. So if we love the Lord, then we want to be with him. And we want to hear and He wants to hear from us. The third reason I have is that we miss out on God's greatest blessings if we don't seek the Lord. There's all kinds of things that happen in your life when you seek the Lord, where you begin to change to be like Christ, and you begin to change, the direction of your life begins to change because you're actively involved in seeking Him and His kingdom. We sang that this morning, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And the last reason I want to give for why we should seek the Lord is because if we don't seek the Lord, not only do we miss out, but other people around us, especially our family, miss out because we didn't take an active involvement in seeking the Lord. Our life will take the course of this world. It's like there's a saying, it said dead fish always swim downhill or downstream. If we're alive, we're like a salmon going against the flow of this world. This world is not a friend of faith. This world wants us to live for this world, but we want to live for God's kingdom. So those are my motivations. I hope they're your motivations. I'll say them again. It pleases God when we seek Him. It helps us know the one that we love. We miss out on God's greatest blessings if we don't seek God and others around us, whether it's our family or our neighbors or the people we work with. They miss out when we don't seek the Lord because we have less to share that's going to help their life. Our country needs revival. If we don't seek the Lord, then revival will not come. And when revival doesn't come, the country is going downstream like a dead fish. So now I want to throw out, I have an outline here, and it gets up to letter K. So I didn't count how many that is. Okay. So how can we seek God? Maybe I'll do this interactively. I'll ask you, how can you seek God on your own? You'll probably hit the ones on my list, at least some of them, a lot of them probably. How can you seek God on your own? Grace?
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible. So that's letter D. Spending time in God's Word renews our mind, and that's what transforms us. And that's in Romans 12, too. It says, don't be conformed to this world. Remember, we don't want to go downstream. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 2. It's a good verse to memorize. Okay, that was one. Nathan?
Study your Bible,
okay? Read it, and then really study it, okay? And meditate on it, yes. Okay, so that's, see, you've got two, and I only had one for that, so we're moving along. Casey?
Prayer and fasting.
We had a very good message a while back about fasting, seeking the Lord by fasting and praying. So you got two more on my list. Very good. See, we're moving right along. Greta? Fellowshipping with other believers. Yes. There are a lot of good things that happen through fellowship. As you talk and you share what you're going through, it helps the other person. And as they share what they're going through, it helps you. So fellowship is another one. Let's see. I have here fellowship with others, and the verse is Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, which I've summarized as stir one another up to love, don't neglect to meet together, encourage one another. So yes, it was on my list.
And prayer?
Prayer? Yes. Now I want to cover prayer by covering two different scriptures. So let's go to Psalm 100, verse 4. And I'll read it to you. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and bless his name. So we see that prayer has thanksgiving and praise and blessing the Lord as all parts of prayer. And the second passage about prayer I want to have us read right now is Matthew 6, 10 to 13, which we know. We call it the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer because it's the prayer the Lord taught to his disciples. And it's a pattern. It says, pray then like this, verse 9. I'm sorry, not 10 to 13, it's 9 to 13. Pray then like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, so what do we see in that prayer? It begins with, hallowed be thy name. Well, it actually begins with our Father. So it's a corporate prayer. It's not just an individual prayer. There's an our is plural. It says, hallowed be thy name. It's an acknowledgement. Holy is your name. Honored is your name. That's adoration. Thy kingdom come. Now we're praying for God's agenda, not our own, first. Now we do get to our agenda. Further down it says, give us this day our daily bread. So we're praying for the provision for our needs. And the Bible says we have not because we ask not. Someone has said that they're amazed at all the coincidences that happen when they happen to pray. And it's not coincidences. When we ask God for things, he delights to answer our prayers. And when we don't ask God for things, he often gives without our asking, but he gives more frequently when we ask. It's like a child coming to a father or a mother and say, I need this, and please give me this. And there's a delight on a parent's heart to meet the needs of their children. God is like that. Then it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespassed against us. So I want you to think, who has trespassed against you? Don't mention their names. Think about that. Who has trespassed against you? You may have a biggie or you might have a little, right? It was a time where I got fired. I had a biggie on my list of laid off, surplused, all these euphemisms. Downsized. After they gave me an award for excellent work, they got rid of me. So have you ever had somebody hurt you that where it was hard to think charitably about the person who hurt you? Be honest. Anybody? Ever? Okay. Have you forgiven them? When it was fresh, that's the hardest time to forgive, when it's just recent, right? So it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. So if you have someone that you've not forgiven, that's how you'll be forgiven. Is that the way you want to be forgiven? This person who's hurt you and you won't forgive them, that's how God will forgive you. That's pretty scary. What? Please repeat.
My offense is not nearly as bad as theirs.
Oh, yes. That's subjective. I had a time where my dad did something that really caused me to explode. And I got home, I was in churn, turmoil, and I tried to have my quiet time, which was when I usually did it. And it's like the Lord said to me, go down and apologize to your father. I was upstairs. He said, go down and apologize to your father. and don't tell him where he was wrong. Just tell him what you're apologizing for. So I went down. My dad was offended at me. I was offended at him. And we were, he was reading the newspaper like this. And I said, "Dad, I want to talk to you." He says, "Yeah, what is it?" I said, "Well, I'm sorry for what I said back there." He says, "I forgive you, but don't do it again." That's when I started to boil over. Because I thought what Werner just said, he was more wrong than me. Now, it's good to realize that when we look at people's faults, we don't have the ability to judge them because we are not them. And we don't know what went on inside of them. And we don't know how much they know, how much grace do they have. Someone said to me once, a Christian is expected more from a Christian because they've grown more, they know more, they've received more. So maybe God looked at that interaction and said, Bruce was more wrong than Bruce's dad. Right? Even though my dad seemed to be more wrong to me very clearly. But so forgive those who've offended you, as the prayer says. There's also in this confession, because when we say, forgive us our debts, we're acknowledging we have some debts. How many of you are perfect? Raise your hand. We want to pray for you. And at the end it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We're asking God for protection from the devil. Do you want protection from the devil? So seek the Lord. I was talking to someone recently, and she said that the devil bothers non-Christians more than Christians because he bothers Christians more than non-Christians because he's already got the non-Christian. He doesn't need to do a lot of tempting there. He wants to trip you up. And James says, Peter says, your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion. How many of you watch short videos on Facebook or something like that? Okay, I want to encourage you to watch videos of lions eating gazelles or zebras or anything else that the lion is attacking. It's very sobering. I'm always rooting for the victim, not for the lion. But the Bible says the devil's like that. That's pretty sobering. There's a hand up.
One of my favorite thriller movies is called The Ghost in the Darkness. It's about lions.
Ghost in the
Darkness. Really good sense of how terrifying it would be.
Yes. The Ghost in the Darkness. That's your assignment for this coming.
Not with your children.
Not with your children. Okay. Other ways to seek the Lord. Have we used them all up? Tim? Worship. Yes, very good. So I had individual prayer and corporate prayer, and that goes for worship too. There's individual worship and there's corporate worship. Those are two. I said K. I'm not going to try and make it read Z. So, okay. So worship, yes, worship is for God, but it's also good for us. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Okay, any other ways? Wendy?
Time alone.
Time alone with God, yes. I think that we're more likely to neglect that because nobody's watching if it's time alone. And, you know, you don't show up at church, other people are going to start saying, where were you on Sunday, you know? So, okay, we already had fellowship with others and fasting. Any others? Werner?
Maybe a conscious, deliberate
thought or maybe forcing yourself to be grateful for whatever is happening in your life, for things that are certainly good in your life. Sunsets, food at the table, nice food,
yes,
tools, healthy body.
Okay. Practice gratitude.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, enter his courts with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So you start with thanksgiving, right? Any other ways? Grace? Oh, Arthur.
Read your Bible a lot and pray because when I prayed, I got my sister after
6 months. Amen. Praise the Lord. When Arthur prayed, he got his sister. God answered his prayer. Yes, amen. Very good, Arthur. Thank you for sharing that. Are there others? Grace?
Listening to teaching of the Word.
Listening to the teaching of the Word, like we're doing right now, yes. Okay. I have a couple more we haven't hit. Casey?
Seeking wise counsel, so like you have a personal problem in your life, going to somebody who's wiser and asking for counsel specifically.
Okay, so going to somebody for counsel to discern God's will and guidance. Okay.
Service.
That was the next one I was going to do. Thank you. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. And I will say this, that those who serve the Lord grow spiritually. When you serve the Lord, you grow. That's it's so true. I have seen men who have served the Lord in prison. And when they started serving the Lord in the prison, I said, they're not much ahead of the guys they're trying to help. You know, and 20 years later, they're really grown so much in the Lord. They have so much to offer. And that's what it's done for me. My serving the Lord in prison has helped me grow, helped me know the Lord better. So serve the Lord. Very good. That was on the list. I have one that we haven't hit. It doesn't mean that there's only one, but I have one. Tim? Accountability. Now, the word accountability is not in the Bible. But there are accountability words in the Bible. And the two that I have is brotherhood and friendship. So if somebody says to me, do I want an accountability partner? I pretty much say no, to be honest. But do I want a friend and a brother? Absolutely. So it's much more joyful. So, and that comes with being a friend and a brother or a sister. Andrew, did you have your hand up?
Obedience.
Obeying the Lord. Yes. And the last one I had was times of retreat, times where we take time apart corporately. Like we recently had our retreat, or like we'll have at Hume in the fall. And ancient Israel, they had the requirement to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem several times a year, men and boys, and somebody covered that today already. Oh, it was Nathan, that Jesus was in Jerusalem with his family. They were fulfilling that command. So from now on, all retreats, attendance is mandatory. So, okay, that was my list. Now I want to finish up here. Different list. This one goes to I, shorter. Can you give me ways that people have sought God in the past? Either a Bible story or something from history. Doesn't have to be a Bible time story. How many of you went to see the movie A Great Awakening? Okay. So that was a time of seeking the Lord for our country. There was repentance, people turning to Christ through the preaching of the word by George Whitefield. And others like Jonathan Edwards and Charles Wesley, and yes.
There are a number of examples of examples of people going out into the wild to be alone with God. Paul, Elijah, Moses.
Yes, in the Bible, people went to be alone. Jesus went was alone in the wilderness 40 days. Elijah, Paul went away after his conversion for 3 years. Werner?
Jesus went up on the hillside.
Jesus often went up in the mountain to pray alone. So times alone, all nights of prayer. Now, that's not a common practice in American churches, but in some cultures, complete nights of prayer is a practice. It's been done in Korea. It's been done in Uganda. It's done in other countries, and they don't think it's extreme. So there's, and often these countries have faced tremendous trials and cried out to God, and because of that, revival came to them. Uganda is one example of that. Israel and Egypt cried out to God under slavery.
After David's wives were captured from Ziklag, it says that he strengthened himself.
Okay. After David's family and his men's families were captured by the Amalekites when they were away from Ziklag and Ziklag was burned, David sought the Lord and strengthened himself in the Lord. It was a very tense time as men talked about stoning him. Okay. The early church, when they were threatened with persecution, they met together and they prayed to God corporately that God would give them boldness. Not that God would protect them. They prayed for boldness. Lord, help us to speak your word without fear. When Peter was in prison after James had been put to death, there was earnest prayer for Peter, and he was delivered from prison. I like to make that personal. I'd like you to imagine that Eric was in prison, and they're going to kill him. We'd have a prayer meeting, right? Hopefully. Who would pray? Yes, it helps me a lot. You know, I put Larry in there or somebody who I love and say, how would I pray if I had a direct relationship? Okay. Paul and Barnabas' missionary journey started because the leaders met together to pray and seek God with prayer and fasting. So I think that's covered all the way down through I. I think we've hit them all pretty much. So my last part here, and I'm going to quit soon really quick. How are we doing? How much are we actively, individually doing of these things you've talked about? We agree with them. I think we agree with them. Jesus said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. The blessing comes in the practice of what we know God's shown us to do. So that goes for individually, and that goes for corporately. How much of it are we doing individually? How much are we doing of it corporately? How much are we praying as a church? When will we have our next all-night prayer meeting? Think about it. How much are we praying for our leaders? How much are we praying for our country and the world? Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." That's seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. The last verse I'd like to read is Hosea 10:12, which we sang this morning. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. You know what good rainfall is like? I had a trip out to almost to Boston this week. It was raining so hard, it was hard to see the white line on the side of the road. I want to see righteousness reign on America. May we seek the Lord with all our heart. And we want, when we finally appear before the Lord, to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we want to seek you. Please draw us deeper into seeking you with all our heart. Lord, just as we recently on the retreat heard about the gifts of the Spirit and prophetic words, and we want to see more of that. Lord, we want everything that you have for us, and we want to be those who hasten the coming of the Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We can have our sharing time.